Hi, welcome to Long Arm Stapler, a podcast about zines. This is season 2, episode 2, and today I am joined by Stephanie and Janine. I'm wondering, do you say girls on film or do you say girls on film?
It's kind of girls on film.
Oh. Just girls on film. I wasn't sure if the comma was like...
It's more of a it was more of a way of being cautious with some of the internet searches to stand out apart from all the porn, obviously, that would pop up.
Got it. Okay. Good to know.
It's a reference to the Duran Duran song of the same name, so sometimes we say girls on film.
Got it. Okay. Good to know. So, how's it going?
Great. I guess.
Yeah, pretty good. It's weird. It's weird times. I'm really excited to do this interview since we haven't had live events in so long. It's really nice to be able to talk about the zine to another person besides Janine.
We also track your conversation once in a while on Twitter, so it's nice to put like a face to a profile once in a while. Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, same. it's nice to, put like names to faces and stuff like that.
Yeah, awesome. So how's life on the West Coast?
It's been really, not to brag, but it's been really nice and sunny here.
I can't say the same.
I see a lot of photos of like snow and it was 71 over the weekend.
I've got a 4-year-old, so I've learned to appreciate the snow this year. So anytime it snows right away, she's got to run outside. So I'm okay with it as long as, we're in D.C., but we've been pretty lucky. We've gotten like, I don't know, what, a total of like 5 days of snow. So to go out, just those few days, it's fine. Otherwise, we've been pretty mild here, too, just to make more short talk about the weather.
Are you both based in D.C.?
Yeah.
So we're like in the metro area. So Steph's down in Virginia, just very close to the city, and then I'm a little bit ways out in Maryland, but it's all lumped together.
Yeah, I haven't been out there. I think like 10 years ago. So it's been a while, but
you shouldn't come now. It's been a little weird here these past couple months, but hopefully maybe I don't even know when would be a good time to come. When we're no longer like a military zone would probably be a good time to come. It's such a weird time.
Yeah.
Right now, in addition to it just being a weird time in the world. Yeah. I mean, the good thing about the pandemic is that all the residents can stay home, right? So that's kind of, if you look at like a silver lining, so everybody can, like, people don't have to try to get to work through all the National Guard troops or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Most people, like, I shouldn't say all people, but most people can work from home. So that's good. But it's just, it's strange times.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about zine like stuff, not being in person. I have some questions.
Okay. Shoot.
So has Girls on Film always been like an easy, like online?
Yeah. So that was our original intention, is just to have it digital, have it free, whatever. And then in June of 2019, I think we started in the winter of 2017. In June of 2019, we applied to and got accepted to the American Library Association annual convention. That was in D.C. at the time, so it was easy for us to go to. And in their big like exhibitor hall down at the convention center, they had a zine corner for us. So we applied and we got in, and it turned out to be super fun. We sold a bunch of books, and that was crazy because we were trying to get them all printed really quickly because we only had a couple months to prepare and we had never printed anything before. So all of the early copies of our zines, all of our hyperlinks are still like linked. They're like blue color because we didn't have the chance to pull them out. But after we did that, we were like, this is awesome. And we met a bunch of really cool people and we're like, let's keep going to live events. So after that, we did a whole string of them up until... like all through that summer and that fall, and then COVID hit in 2020, and we haven't been able to do one since November of 2019. But they're awesome when we can do them.
Yeah, I am an organizer for some in-person zine fests, and I miss it so much. Like, I mean, we've adapted to being online, but it's not the same. I miss I miss them.
It seems, I don't know if you might think so differently, but it seems like a lot of the announcements that would have gone out this time of year have kind of, like, the organizers have kind of held off now in sort of the hopes that at least some point this year, you know, people can get together once again, because I think there really is that desire to do all this in person. It's nice to, you know, have a website to go to and promote something still and have that space, but you're right. It's like, without, like, the zine community, I think in particular, really relies on that sort of face-to-face interaction. There's just something really nice about doing that. You know, even though, like, we've gotten to participate in, like, a ton of events between last year and now, it's not the same. It really isn't.
No, I will say, though, we have gotten to do some foreign events. So we've got one in Scotland, two in Australia. We did a Canadian one. I forget where else we were, but so that's cool because we're in places. I have some notes that I was looking at. Sorry. We're in places that we normally wouldn't be, and maybe picking up some new audience members. So that is nice. And I hope once we can go back to live events, there will be some sort of virtual aspect to them, because, like, obviously we're never going to be, well, I don't want to say never, but we most likely won't be able to go to Australia for a zine fest.
So right.
To still be able to have, like, something like that, even just traveling around the country. I mean, it's hard. You know, we were really hoping to get to Chicago for the Library Association one again, but, you know, if we can't make the trip, but they're still going to have a live event, just have part of it still be digital. That'd still be pretty
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. For one of the fests I organize, it's in December every year. And so last year we were really hoping, at the beginning of the year when we started planning, we were like, all right, fingers crossed, we're going to, you know, barrel through this pandemic and have a vaccine and we're going to get to meet in person. And then
yeah,
it didn't happen. Like, we still had it online, but we're doing the same thing this year where it's like, do we even hold out hope that we'll be able to gather this year either?
I mean, I'm holding out hope because it's, you know, it's all we got at this point.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And I think we're sort of, I guess, maybe less optimistic about it now. Like, but there are ways to sort of work around it, right? I mean, you could have smaller events if you have, like, timed registration or something like that. Some way to make it work on a very small scale. I think there's still that possibility maybe later in the year. And I think that even that would be awesome, but just, you know, just to get back out there and to be, I mean, just in general, I mean, that's just life in general, right? Don't you just want to go out and be around people and not have to, like, give them dirty looks for being around too many people, you know? So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Did you participate in Canzine? Was that the Canadian fest that you did?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I did that one too, and it was my first international zine fest, even though it was online. It was really cool the way they did things where, you know, they took care of all the customs and, like, actual selling and stuff, and you just mailed off your zines and then they distributed them themselves. And I think that's an amazing feat. I would love to talk to some of the organizers of Canzine, because that, when I saw what all they were doing, I was amazed.
We actually,
I definitely was, like, the actual format was really nice too. And that's another thing, as many of these festivals that have gone on online now and been digitized, like, people have gotten really creative as they went along. Whereas the quarantine thing way back in March last year was just a hashtag and you shared it on social media. And Canzine by the end of the year was doing, like, an RPG thing, and they've kind of figured out how to sort of make use of the real estate on their website, and you could unlock certain things. And it was really cool for the organizers and probably just as much for the users too. It wasn't just a plain old website and here's somebody's link and you click on it and go. They really made it interactive, and we've seen that a little bit more. Like the Contemporary Museum in Cleveland, we joined their event this year too. But the way they did it was an art catalog, which was kind of cool. They're like, we still want something that people, like, a physical media that people could have, and here's our way of doing it. And so, and we've seen it too now with I think the Festival of the Photocopier in Victoria, Australia is coming up. And that one, too, is going to be a little bit different. So it's really nice how people are sort of like, they got forced into this situation, but they've really tried to make it a very creative experience and sort of made it as interactive as they possibly could as it went along, which is really great. I've been really impressed with some of the ideas people have come up with for that.
You know, I just found one online that's out of Connecticut that we were looking at too, that has some sort of, I didn't read too closely. Usually Janine applies to the virtual fest, so she reads closely, but it's some sort of like people can basically go into a room and interact with you. And so you can I could talk to somebody about a zine, which would be amazing. So yeah, it's all good. We actually met some of the CanZine people at the Library Association thing back in June of 2019 from Broken Pencil. They had a table at that event. And that's kind of how we found out about them, because they came and told us they do their zine awards every year. And one of our zines was a finalist in the summer of 2019. And then when everything came back around this year, we were like, oh yeah, we should check out CanZine. We know that we worked with those guys. We didn't go in 2019. We didn't go to Canada for it, but it's a cool event.
Yeah, I had a really good time. I didn't interact with it as much as I could have, but it looked really cool. So about Girls on Film, you just put out your 11th issue. First, do either of you want to talk about like the zine itself?
Yeah, let's step to, she's our elevator pitch, so we'll do it.
I can give the spiel. So Janine and I have been friends for a really long time. We go back to like 2006 or something like that. And in the winter of 2017, I was unemployed and she said to me, do you want to write a zine? And I was like, cool, I don't know what that is. I mean, I had a vague idea, but she's written them forever since she was in high school. So I was like, yeah. She was like, let's write a zine about 80s movies. And I was like, okay. Because I had all the time in the world to write these essays. So we kind of quickly pull the format together. We'll pick a theme. We'll find, originally we had talked about 10 movies, but we had to cut it down to 8 movies because 10 was way too many. So we pick a theme and then we find 8 movies that somehow fit that theme. We're pretty loose with our themes. Actually, our first issue is called the music issue, but it's not really all about music. It's mostly about dancing, I think, but whatever. So, and then we just kind of put it all together. We, at the beginning, we were each writing four essays a piece. And so since then, as this has kind of evolved into a much bigger project than I think either one of us ever thought it was going to be, we brought some guest writers in, we've had some of our friends do it. And since we were able to get out and go to live events, we've had some people contact us and say, hey, this sounds fun, I'd like to write for your zine. So yeah. What started out as just the two of us watching and talking about 80s movies has really evolved into like a little bigger operation. We have one consistent contributor. We have two others who are interested. There are guest writers now. And then, as I said, we've had two of our friends and my husband and Janine's brother. You don't have to be a girl to write for Girls on Film. We are open to anybody. So yeah, you know, 80s movies are our focus. That is all we write about. But everything has, you know, our personalities infused into it. We're not like a women's rights zine. We're not like a feminist zine. But we are women. So oftentimes in our essays, we talk about issues with misogyny and or racism or whatever comes out of those. Some of those 80s movies are just really bad. So yeah, it's kind of, it's specific, but also open-ended at the same time. Did I cover everything?
Yeah, I was looking over. So one thing about me is that I have not seen that many movies. So I was going through and I was looking for movies that I recognized. And I was kind of blown away by just how detailed the essays get. Just really enjoyed. I'm trying to pull up. I was reading the one about Pee-wee's Big Adventure on my lunch break today. And it was cool because I was able to be like, ah, yes, I've seen this movie. I can, like, understand what's happening in this essay. So yeah, I really like the one on Pee-wee.
That was me. Thanks.
How do you pick your themes?
We have a running list. So yeah, we just come up with ideas. Around the time we started getting pretty serious and having this come out regularly, which is quarterly, we just put a list together of all the different things and we add to it, we pull from it. We had an organizing meeting back in the fall and I was like scrolling through all the topics we'd come up with. So it's just kind of whatever we think we could find enough movies under and something that interests, you know, both of us.
We sort of time it too based on like some of the summer issues. They tend to be like the fluff issues. So this year we'll do one on high school movies. And then like in light of sort of the fall holidays, we'll do one on like creature features, kind of around Halloween, but not specifically a Halloween issue. So we sort of time some things that way, or we'll like try and space out some of the goofier movies with some of the more serious ones. So the next one to come out in March is about journalists, which we found in the 80s was a lot of depressing movies. So after a really heavy issue, we'll probably come up with something a little bit much lighter to read after that, especially to write about. so it also works like that. And all that, I watched... Like, I spent my life in video stores when I was in high school. So these are a lot of the movies that I remember, and I just get so eager to want to, you know, to share that with people. So I'll come to Steph and I'll say, well, now let's do an issue on this. And I already have, like, you know, 20 different movies to pick from because these are all the things that I remember. And if Steph is cool with, you know, like, okay, we'll do this kind of a thing, or we'll focus on this or something else. I've already got my, I'm already excited and ready to go. So I've already got my list of things that I want to do. and the amount of themes that you can come up with, or any way that you could sort all these movies together, you know, the possibilities are endless. And so it's just, it's whatever kind of sounds fun for the moment, you know?
Yeah. I will say also, I haven't seen nearly as many movies as Janine has. And if I can't find something to fit, she'll put together a list of like 20 potential options. So I can usually find something in that. Or if I've watched one and I don't want to write about it, I can go find another one. The one thing we did learn with our themes is to not do specific like a Halloween issue or whatever, because if we don't hit the deadline and the Halloween issue comes out at Christmas, it's not that fun.
I was going to say our third issue was on it was about summer movies, which I think didn't come out till September. So Steph's exactly right.
I think it was later than that. I think it was October.
Right. Yeah. So we definitely think you learn your lesson fast about doing it that way. But but that is nice to have, like, because we do sort of write on our own style, and everybody kind of has their own kind of favorite movies. Like our other writer, Rhonda, loves the like the B movie grindhouse stuff. And so we know right away that if there's like some goofy stuff that we can throw her way, she's happy to write about it. And like I said, it's like Steph said, if there's something she doesn't really have too many ideas of what she might want to write about, I can come along and say, well, these are the kind of movies she's into. This might work for her, or these are her strengths where she that she can focus on. This will be a perfect movie for her. So like with the high school movie, she's going to be writing about like the Heathers and Say Anything, which I think is great stuff for essays for stuff.
I cannot wait to watch Heathers again. Have you ever seen Heathers?
I have.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I remember really enjoying it. It's cool to like rewatch movies from like growing up, and unless it's not.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes, like Steph had written about the Peanut Butter Solution, which I remember being a weird movie when I was a kid. It's this, I mean, it's just such a weird Canadian kids movie. It's hard to believe it's for kids. And when you watch some of these things as adults, you're like, oh my God, you know, I don't, you know, if you enjoyed it as a kid, sometimes you wind up hating it. And sometimes it's the reverse. You know, you have these different perspectives on things. But man, I feel like in a lot more cases, it's just that things just are weird when you watch them now. And I know, we're talking about 40 years later, you know, that you're watching something and life has changed completely. But it is funny to go back sometimes and be like, what the hell was I thinking, you know?
Yeah. So the Peanut Butter Solution, I always remember being terrified of. If you haven't ever seen that one, it is a weirdo movie, and I recommend it. It's
which one?
The Peanut Butter Solution, it's called. But so I'm kind of a weenie, and I've always been a weenie. So scary movies always gave me nightmares, and I was never allowed to watch them growing up. And I would always have to sneak over to my friend's house to watch them, and I still always had nightmares, and then my mom was always mad that I saw these movies. But The Peanut Butter Solution is not a traditionally scary movie, but it is messed up. It is not a kid's movie. I saw, for an animation issue, I wrote about the Rainbow Bright movie, which I was a huge Rainbow Bright fan growing up. I loved the colors and everything. And that movie is terrible. It was terrible. It's a Hallmark marketing thing, but the movie itself just... I was so disappointed. I was like, this is like 2 hours of just whiny kids. So sometimes it's great to revisit. Sometimes it's not.
I'm going to plug that one. So if anybody's listening and they do want to you haven't heard of The Peanut Butter Solution, but want to know a little bit about it before you go into it and love just weird movies. We wrote about that one for our food issue. I think that was number 4. That's like a Steph's essay is a great warning before you tune into that one. It's just so weird.
So weird.
I've got like a weird movie watching crew with some old coworkers, and so okay. I think I'll look into that one and float it, because we've seen some. We watched Toys, not an 80s movie, but something that I watched as a kid and then watched as an adult and was like, what the fuck? Yeah. So
yeah.
Sometimes fun to revisit, sometimes not.
Yeah.
Janine, so you've been making zines since high school. How did you get into zines?
So I ran with like the middle class white punk kids, which I guess is like pseudo punk, right? And they were into a few of them had started. They wrote zines, and I just took an interest in what they were doing because I thought that was so cool. When this was back in the day, I grew up in Orlando, and this was back in the day when they still had like tons of local video, record stores. And the record stores, you know, were very cool about if you wanted to make something and bring it in store and just give it away for free, they'll lend you space on the shelves. And so I was just, I mean, these things are, I saved them all these years and I go back and read them. They're just really embarrassing nonsense. But the fact that when you're 15 to, you know, have this little audience, and this was way before the internet, right? To have this little audience come out to you and you just have this, you know, you're just sitting in like your room cutting and pasting all this shit, really, and then getting to go out and people will actually read it. I was so impressed with that, and it sort of stuck with me. I wrote some more in college and again in grad school when like I could actually write decently and write serious stuff. And I just in the last couple of years, I know zines sort of went through that. You know, there's always that up and down, and went up through that wave of like almost completely disappearing. And when they started to make that resurgence about, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, I really missed that. I really liked sort of that response you get out of creating something and somebody else is willing to pick it up and read it. And so, like Steph said, we were just at a point of we needed like a hobby, and it just seemed like a fun idea. And especially to take on a digital zine at that point, because if you do physical zines, you know there's a lot of work involved of just putting them together, stapling them, and the whole process there just takes forever. And you're lucky if you get sometimes back past 2 or 3 issues, right? And the digital one, I thought it was a lot more fun because we could just put them out, not have to really do all that extra work on the side, because we Steph was out of work for a while, but we had full-time jobs and full-time lives, and at some point you can't keep up with that when you do it by yourself or when you do it in small numbers. And so I like the idea of doing the digital zine, and now we're back to kind of doing both, right? Which is really weird. You have to, you know, kind of in the middle of all this, we rethink ourselves, and now we're like, oh, well, now we have to incorporate marketing. That's a new part of it these days, right? Stuff you didn't have to worry about, you know, when zines were kind of in their infancy, and it's still a big job, but oh my God, it's so much fun, and I absolutely love it.
You've dated us, by the way, by talking about how you started writing zines before the internet. So,
So when I was in grad school, I was very proud of myself. Like I was a big music nerd, and so my zines were basically just all these bands nobody had heard of that I found on MySpace that I thought the whole world had to know about immediately. And I'd like write something and then these little reviews, and then I'd email the bands and they'd be like, oh, this is great. Send us a copy. But they'd always ask for a hyperlink. And I'm thinking, it's like, can I just mail it to you? Cause I don't, you know, that's way too technical for me. And then my milestone for that whole thing was I got to interview the cast of the Monster Squad when they were coming out with the DVD. And I just thought, oh my God, I like became a minor celebrity. It's so dumb, but to feel that way about the whole process. And it really encourages you to keep going, right? Because you have that response. It's just so in conclusion, like the zine, the whole, I think once you get that sort of rush from making zines and you kind of get that sense of community. There's just so much. It's such a fun thing to keep up with. It could be, and I think the fun of it too is you just can write about anything and express anything you want, and there's always somebody who's willing to kind of pick it up and run with it. And it's just it's a great hobby. If anybody's ever looking to get into zines, I would absolutely encourage it.
Yeah. Janine, do you remember when we were at ALA, when I got my first taste of what she's talking about, and that lovely girl whose name we don't remember came up to our table and she was like, I love Girls on Film. And I looked at her and I was like, you mean our thing? Like this? How do you know about this? We just are doing this. And it turned out her boyfriend was also tabling and had purchased one and brought it home the night before. But we didn't know that. So I was like, you know us. That's awesome. You like us. So we're doing something cool. That's awesome. And that's what kind of really got me, like people responding positively and being like, oh yeah, I saw that movie, I watched that movie. And I will say that first event we went to with all the librarians was awesome, because librarians are a super great group of people. If we had been into like a different first live event, if it had been a different experience, I don't know which way this would have gone, but that having that first like really great experience off the bat was key.
Yeah, I remember my first zine fest, and nobody recognized like my writing because it was like a one day thing, but it was just such a positive response to my writing once I was there. And I was like, oh my God, this is cool. Like people want to read what I have to say, even though it's all just weird nonsense most of the time. And now I help organize them. So it all comes full circle.
That's awesome. Which fest is that?
The East Bay Alternative Book and Zine Fest, and it was in Berkeley. Now it's in Oakland.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna write that down.
And did you say that's typically held in December?
Yeah, it's usually the second weekend, usually the second Saturday in December.
My sister actually lives out there, so I would love to come out for that. We have a place to stay if we do come out there.
If we have it in person again, you should come out. If we don't have it in person and we have it online, you should apply. It's a lot of fun. I love that fest. Your zine is beautiful, I will say. Do you do all the like art and graphic design, I guess? Do you do that all yourselves?
Yeah, Janine knows most of it. I do a little bit of it. But in addition to all the designing, which I will let her talk about in a minute, we also pull our screenshots ourselves.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So all the pictures, everything you see in there, we do everything except print it ourselves. But I'll let Janine speak to the design element.
Yes. No, I was just going to, I just wanted Steph to take credit for the design too, because she did. And so like the last issue actually was her cover design. And so that's sort of the thing that goes into it, too, is thinking about now we have this concept and sometimes it's abstract themes and how do you represent this in the design? And to really, and I think that was sort of the draw. Like, how do you get an audience if nobody knows the stuff that you write about? And I guess, I mean, 80s movies is a hook, right? Because everybody's into nostalgia. But we found that at the zine festivals where you're surrounded by so many really awesome looking zines, right? And especially with the people coming out now from like amateur comic book artists and photographers, and you have all these awesome things. And our sort of hook was, well, we had like these really pretty covers to sort of draw people to the table, which was nice. So to still kind of keep that in mind, if something that pops and then, you know, you pick up the issue and start reading it, we tend to go with, and then just to have some fun with it and come up with something that sort of reflects the 80s mostly. So it'll usually start with like, here's our theme, and then we're gonna go like look at like 80s advertisements or whatever the case is. But it's a lot of fun. It's just as much fun to design it as it is to write it. I think, even though it's tons and tons of work, but it's still a lot of fun.
It's hours of work. We have a little fun puzzle to figure out how we're going to design a cover that represents movies about the news or journalism for our next issue. So, we go back and forth on the covers. So if Janine has an idea, she'll send me a quick mock-up and I'll say, this is good. What if we do this, or vice versa, whatever. So we really do work. We work collaboratively pretty much on everything. Which is nice, because we're still friends, even though we're like 3 years into this project that's actually become pretty intense.
Yeah. if anybody is interested in doing stuff like this, we work entirely almost exclusively with Adobe, the Adobe Creative Suite, to set up these covers and run everything. So it works.
Yeah. Even the way that like the pages are laid out, I am so used to like cut and paste. And even when I first started making zines, I was making them on a computer because I got into zines like right after college. And so I was like, oh, digital zines, that's what I'm going to do. And I was laying them out in Microsoft Word. But yeah, just the very beautiful zines all around.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
I had started, when I started making zines, I used, I don't know if it's still around, Microsoft Publisher back in the day, but yeah, that's, there's loads of great programs these days to do some layouts, to do some really pretty layouts. So yeah, there's a lot of good options out there. It's funny, the things that you start with and the things you kind of wind up with after you learn all these lessons, you know?
Yeah, I'm putting together a zine right now in Publisher, and it's nice to kind of get back into digital like arrangements, yeah. Especially because I don't have access to a like feeder scanner at the moment. And I think that has a lot to do with how I'm making my zines now, is working from home and just kind of navigating the challenges of like being back in like a home office setting, because that's how I started, you know?
Yeah.
Do either of you have any favorite zines?
You know, I gotta say, not being at live events, I haven't been reading too many zines. Like, I am much more tactile and read much more of it because I'm my full-time job is as an editor, and I read on the computer all day, and it's hard to sit and then read digital zines all night. I did see a really funny one over the summer that was like, it was something about how like two famous people that have the same name are not the same person. So it would have a picture of, now I can't even think of the name of this one person. And it was like, just, you know, Adam Scott is not Adam Scott. Like, it was like that kind of, I guess that works actually, because he's an actor and a golfer. So yeah, it was just, it was really, that was all it was. It was like pages of that. so that I was really struck by how silly that was. But yeah, unfortunately, not being at the events, I feel like I'm just not reading as many of them as I used to.
I've gotten into a lot of children's illustration recently, and I thought that, so I somehow landed on Kaboom magazine, which is aimed at young girls 5 to 7 or something like that, which is like a combination of graphic novels and written content for young girls, this sort of like gung-ho independence, you know, sort of thing, which is really nice. Like I guess it's feminism for children. I don't know, but it's such a beautiful looking publication. That's what really draws me to it. But there's this trend of trying to get younger audiences into zines, which I think is a really great idea in terms of nurturing like younger people's creativity in some way, is great. And they just, their website is beautiful. The publication is beautiful. So Kaboom Zine, if you're like a mom looking for stuff for your youngins or whatever, you know, that's a good place for looking.
Back when fests were happening in person, I definitely noticed like an influx in kid zinesters, and I found that really cool. Like I said, I got into zines kind of late, and I wish that I had that kind of format when I was a kid. Like, I wrote a lot and I drew a lot, but I never kind of put the pieces together as like, oh, this is a thing that I can make and share with people. It was more, I'm going to fill this notebook up and then never look at it ever again. And yeah, I've gotten some really cool zines of like kids draw Pokemon and just really fun illustrative zines.
To the credit of the librarians, and maybe that's because so I was in high school in like the 90s. So that generation now is parents, right? And teachers and everything else. And we've seen, when we went to the ALA conference, the librarians were trying to figure out how to, like, they'd stop by the zine pavilion and pick up a bunch of copies because they were trying to figure out now, how do you incorporate this into teaching? And they were middle school teachers and high school teachers, and you'd see now in publications, sort of had, they hold zine workshops in libraries too, that are aimed at teenagers, which is so great. Like you said, if you could figure this out when you were younger and somebody would have pulled you aside and said, you can make these things, you can make them so easy. It's such an easy thing to do and a great way to express yourself. And, like we were talking about before, just generate an audience you never even knew you had. I think there'd be a lot of more enthusiasm for it. And it is nice to see that there's like an effort to do it now. And in time, I think we'll probably see a lot more of these kids showing up at zine festivals. We were at the Baltimore DIY Fest, I think, in 2019. And there was a whole gaggle of like high school girls. I think they were high school age. They might have been middle school. But they were so much fun and they were so enthusiastic. They came over to the table and they talked to us and they said, I mean, these were kids who clearly hadn't seen any 80s movies, right? But that they came over and they wanted to share their work. They said, can we have some of your zines? We said, yeah. And it was just really exciting that all these kids showed up and they were just having the best time. And it was like, yes, we're all part of this thing, you know?
Yeah, that was super cool. That was Philly, I think.
Oh, it was Philly. Oh, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, they were really into it and they were excited that we would trade with them. And yeah, that was really nice to see. I agree with everything she just said. Yeah.
I do miss trades, which is something that I feel doesn't happen as often with like the digital zine fests. I mean, it can. And I love getting mail. I love ordering zines and then going to my mailbox and being like, yes, a good mail day. But I really miss trading and like
we'll trade with you
getting to see people in person and like meet the person behind the zines, and hopefully we'll get back to that.
So that was the one nice thing about the Festival of the Photocopier coming up in Australia. They had actually made a point to do a zine swap. It was only for Australians, but that they tried to incorporate that too. I think there's a lot of desire to get like. A lot with all the festivals that have gone on digitally, there's still that component of like they've still tried to host talks and so do some sort of face-to-face interaction because there is you need that connection for all of this to work, right? This is the crux of the whole zine community is that interaction, which I was surprised to see that there would be a zine swap, but you said, just for locals to apply for it and just to kind of hang on to those little bits of it is really nice. And I've noticed like with Facebook more than other social media, zinesters who do have copies are just like, hey, I've got this thing. Just send me your address and I'll mail it to you. Like there's more of a willingness just to whatever. I have this thing. I want to send it out if you want to read it, which is nice, too. So I know that's sort of an expensive ordeal to just mail to everyone and anyone. But to have those physical copies, there's always, as much as we worked in a digital setting, even I love having that thing that you can hold on to and read it and save it, you know.
When I was using Facebook, there were a few groups that were really active zine groups, and I missed that. But I've been using Reddit lately, and I've noticed there's a few zine Reddits. I'm very weary of giving anyone on Reddit my address. Yeah, I feel like I'm justified in that. but I think it's really cool. So you're tabling at two events coming up. The Festival of the Photocopier in Australia and one in Scotland?
Yeah, the Glasgow Zine Library hosts the Glasgow Zine Fest. And this year it will be online for the full month of April. We also applied for, Steph had mentioned the Litchfield, Connecticut one, just opened applications. If anybody is looking for a festival, this is a good one to apply to. And then the Tally Zine Fest might be in the Midwest. We just submitted an application, but that's open till March. And also if anybody's, so they're still accepting applications, FYI. And then we're part of the Cleveland MoCA art catalog, but we haven't heard like what phase they're in as far as distributing the catalog or moving forward with that. So that's sort of an event on hold, but yeah, slowly getting back into the year's events, you know, wherever they may be.
Awesome. I need to like start looking into stuff to table at. I think last year just got me down, which I think it got 95% of people down creatively. And like, I don't know, At first I was very hesitant to do online fests. I was like, it's not the same. It's hard. I'm on a computer 9 to 5 every day. I don't want to be on a computer on the weekends, even though I'm on my computer on the weekends. Yeah, I was very hesitant at first, but I think this year, especially with restarting the podcast, I want to just get back out there, and I want to trade, and I want to sell zines, and I want to meet people any avenue I can through zines. And I think this year is going to be a good year for zine stuff, because I think,
yeah,
I don't know, I don't think my situation is all that uncommon. I think a lot of people are like kind of rekindling their zine fire.
Yeah, that's been actually like a common current in the Twitter comments, right? That's people have kind of had their creative block, and you're right, they're just sort of breaking out of it now. And it'll be interesting to see like what, not just a continuation now of work that people had done in the past, but what kind of new things will come out of this because of we've been in isolation for so long and just sort of depressed for so long, right?
Yeah.
And I know part of that just isn't the virus alone, but it's just you know, it's been a huge weight on people's shoulders. And what will be the creative outlets now? Those are going to be great to see this year.
Yeah, I can see.
Speaking of the festivals, so the way that we had, I know that, I think it is the Sticky Revolution website maintained at one time a list of the zine festivals that were coming up for the year around the world. And I know that that calendar is kind of thrown off with last year. Some of the organizers just chose not to do an in-person or a digital event and just held off for whenever they could. But if anybody is looking for festivals, one way that we do it is we just follow all of the known festivals on Twitter. And then once in a while it pops up that, so you know, we've opened up or whatever the social media channel is, Instagram and Facebook too. They'll put out announcements for when applications open up. And we found for the most part, they're open to everybody, you know, regardless of location. So I think that's great. If you get back into it this year, hopefully there's just as many things to work with. And like I said, there's been this like evolution of creativity over time as people now have had to rethink all these things. And and hopefully they do kind of incorporate those traditional ways of doing things, mailing out copies and doing swaps and stuff, because that would be so much fun to get back into and just slowly return to normal life.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and it'll be, and I have a lot of faith in this year too, so I'm hoping for good stuff as well.
Well, and I can say too, there has been even if it's not face to face, I've struggled with writing my essays for the zine, and I think you can see it a little bit in the most recent zine. I was just talking to a friend of mine about it last night because my movies were kind of heavy. I did Stand By Me, The Outsiders, and Bright Lights, Big City,
Yeah. And
like by the time I got to Stand By Me, which is one of my all time favorite movies, like top five, I just like didn't have it in me. So a lot of what I talk about is just like production issues and what went on kind of behind the scenes and writing it and. Like the analysis part of it, just like it just, I love that movie so much. I enjoyed watching it, but it just wasn't there. But I can say we have made a lot of like virtual connections. Our Instagram account is above 100 followers right now, which is pretty, pretty fun. We had a little virtual high five over that. People have reached out to us over email. So we've still gotten to have a little bit of contact, even though it's not the way we usually do it. Facebook keeps telling me our page gets new views. I don't think either one of us really pays that close attention to our Facebook page, but it is there. And yeah, Janine's pretty active on our Twitter account, and Twitter is definitely where we have found the majority of our fest that we've done. But I've had people reach out to me privately on Instagram a couple times, and so people are still out there doing their thing. I think once we kind of settle into, hopefully, as I said earlier, virtual fest as a companion to in-person fest, we'll see a lot more online activity with all that kind of stuff too.
I wish there was a way to like corral it onto asking the world to use just one social media channel is asking a lot, but it'd be cool if there was a way to like corral it onto, yeah. You mentioned a website that has like a calendar.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, you know what? I think it's called the Sharpie Revolution.
Oh, Stolen Sharpie Revolution.
Stolen Sharpie.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they maintained that calendar for a long time. And like I said, it got thrown off last year, so I don't know how much of it's updated. But we tried to keep our own calendar at one time, but it's just really hard to do with so many. And there were a few new festivals, too, I guess, last year. So it's just hard to keep up with that. But I find, like, tracking everybody on their social media is probably the best way to do it, because they'll post a couple different times. And for us, Twitter tends to be the best sort of megaphone for those things.
Awesome. So you've got a new issue coming out soon. You've got some fests coming up. Do you have anything else that you'd like to plug or talk about?
Well, we got a new writer on board for our next issue, which is nice. We're talking now. We're just in the talking stages about moving over into the podcasting world and joining the universe of podcasting at some point this year. So that just as a way of kind of filling in the gap between the 4 months between issues and talking about the stuff we want to talk about.
We could call it Girls on Film on Tape.
Yeah.
Girls on Film on Cassette or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say...
TBD.
Yeah, we've been talking about getting a podcast for a long time. It's just life is busy. As Janine said, she's got kids. Everybody's working. Everybody's stuck at home. So we try to find safe ways to even meet up. But now that the weather, we've been trying to get together, but with the weather, it's just cold and not that fun outside. And I would say, too, we are always accepting writers. If you're interested in writing about 80s movies and working with the two of us, all of our info is on our website, which is girlsonfilmzine.com. It's a nice website. Janine designed it. You should check it out. The pictures in our bio are not actually us, so don't be surprised by that.
I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
I was not surprised. But...
So you can always shoot us an email. I have the email address hooked up to my phone, so I check it pretty regularly now. And if you have writing samples, great. If you don't, that's fine. We're always up to have Zooms and meet people. So if there's anyone out there who feels like jumping in, just let us know. We plan our issues out at least the last couple of years. We've been planning them a year in advance, so we know kind of what we're doing. And we try to stay as organized as possible. And we're pretty nice and fun to talk to. So reach out anytime.
Yeah, that's all I've got. If that's all you've got.
I think so.
Great.
This was a load of fun, and we really appreciate you taking the time out for an interview. This was a great opportunity.
Fun. Yeah, so. Thank you so much for doing this.
I was just gonna say this was super fun. I'm really glad you reached back out. I know we've been in touch a while back, and I'm really glad we made it happen.
Yeah, me too, especially on such short notice. So thank you. And I know it's late there, but yeah, thank you so much.
That's all right.
It was great getting to put names to faces and talking with you about your zine. So yeah, that's season 2, episode 2 of Long Arm Stapler. I just made a website, so you can find me there, longarmstapler.com. And thanks for listening.